The electric eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across and cover. And it's Kenny from a flinkage bounce. Scores a try on the corner. Sterling on his own. Sterling looking for a hat trick. Can he get there? It's a hat trick for Sterling.
The eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Hello and welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. It is Bernie and Jono week this week. We don't seem to be able to get a week together with all three of us, but this week it is myself and young Jonathan. How are you, buddy?
I'm physically good, mentally not so good.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to start with this one. What a shit show, to be fair. Like, what an absolute shit show. And I honestly can't remember being more embarrassed by the team. I saw on the Cumberland Throw, they said that the best word to described the game was Parramatta acted like they were entitled, and that summed it up perfectly for me. And I fully agree with the boys that they just acted entitled. They came out and they just thought that it was going to just be an easy win. But you'd think, like, you know, 12-0 down, 16-0 down, you'd think then they'd start to click and go, fuck, we need to do something here. We need to fire up. But they just do not have the ability to dig themselves out of a hole. If they don't turn up for a game, they do not have the ability to get back into the arm wrestle.
Which is a shame, like, because we've shown tenacity this year. Yeah. We did it against Melbourne and Penrith. I think we came from behind twice against Canberra, in Canberra. Yeah. We're a team that's got tenacity, but when we don't want to put the effort in or earn the right to get back into a level contest, God, we're the worst team. The difference between our worst and our best is fucking unacceptable, mind-boggling.
You know, we lost to the Tigers by 1 point, and that was a pretty devastating loss, but it was still, we were in that game and right to the last, you know, and we still didn't put any effort. We didn't put any effort into this game, and we got absolutely smashed. So this one hurts even more because it's the Bulldogs, obviously, with the history. And it was just embarrassing. Like Matt Burton did bloody running over the top of Mitch. And I don't know, like it started off with Mitch passing into the Iceman's back. Like he had already run past him. You can't put that down to the Iceman. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was running a decoy run. And Mitch just passed straight into his back. And it was just like, oh, shit, this is not going to be a good day. And then, obviously, they did their little chip over the top, which they did the week before. So the boys should have been onto it for Addo Carr in the corner. And then they got the intercept try, and it was just like, it was game over. It was, you could see that we just didn't have any fight. So, it was a hard watch, man.
We've seen it in a few games this year where Parramatta will dominate the first 10 minutes. And if they don't score a try, they start panicking and playing not their brand of football. Yeah. And it seemed like it was sort of the case this week as well. Yeah. Except Addo Carr's pissed off because he didn't get a New South Wales jersey. I said to Barry last week, not jokingly, I knew Josh Addo Carr was going to come out. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm wary of what he may do after getting snubbed. Yeah. But the fact that we not only let him, but we helped him. Yes. We gave him an innocent try. Like, we helped him on his way to pulling that blue jersey back on. And we let Matt Burton dominate the game.
I know.
Like, Matt Burton's done nothing this year.
He's shown glimpses, but he has not had a dominant performance like that. He was absolutely dominant over the top of our halves. Their forwards got the top on top of our forwards. Pangai Jr. I think Red, I'm a big RCG fan. I do think he always seems to turn up. He always seems to hit the ball up. I don't think that Jr. was playing like a man who was playing for his Blues jersey because he didn't have a good game in Origin. He needed to have a big game and he didn't have one. Ryan Madison was the same. He didn't have a big game. It would not surprise me at all if Junior and Matta have lost their Blues jerseys. I think RCG still deserves to have his. Adakar is definitely going into the Blues because Daniel Tupou has said that he wants to play for Tonga. So he's not eligible now. And Katoni Staggs has just come out and said that he doesn't want to play for New South Wales as well. So that tells me something about New South Wales team having the same mental problems, that the boys just don't want to play for the teams. And Pappenhausen caught COVID. Mitchell's caught COVID as well. So the Blues are looking a bit, you know, rocky, which you don't give a fuck about being a Queenslander. You're probably like, bring it on. But I don't. But back to Parramatta, I'm wondering now, because a lot of the boys are leaving the team, whether they just don't have the hunger. You've got to start questioning how much they're prepared to put in for a team that they're leaving. I know that they've said that they want to leave with a premiership, but when another team turns up like the Bulldogs did and starts getting in your face and you're leaving, I question whether they just turn off and go, well, you know, whatever, we'll worry about it next year.
I wish I had an answer on that one, but I mean, but they've turned up this year. Yeah. We beat Penrith in Penrith. We beat Melbourne in Melbourne. We came from behind to beat Manly. We beat Canberra in Canberra. This team knows how to turn up.
So what happened?
You know, and it's so frustrating that Brad Arthur comes in and says, right, I'm going to give you a five-day break.
Why the hell did he give them a five-day break after we had a bye? Like, we had a bye, and then he gives them a five-day break after that, and they turn up like they've been on holidays. They turn up like they're hungover, and you know, it was the wrong decision. Yeah, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, BA is not the one who was out there, you know, not trying. And so, BA has one job to do, and it's to get that team mentally prepared to take on the opposition. That's all he has to do. He's got conditioning coaches out there. He's not responsible for all that shit. His only job is to get the boys mentally prepared for the collision. And every week we hear him say, oh, we weren't ready for the collision. He said that we tried to pass our way out of that game instead of taking on the collision. And he was right. But it's his job to get, like, I swear to God, we'd be better off getting bloody Tony Robbins as our coach or something, you know, someone, a motivational speaker, someone who could go in and just motivate the boys and just get in their heads and just say, come on, like, you know, this is what you've got to do this for your family. I don't know. Like, it's time for BA to go. And I don't want to be harping on BA because we've been doing it a fair bit this year, but it's time. He's had his time, man. It's like, it's 10 years. We've signed him to the end of 24, I think it is. I think he's signed to the end of 24. And yeah, that's insane, man. That is insane.
Motivation starts from the coach.
Yeah.
Like, we can sit there and we can point the finger at the players on the field, but the guy who gets them fired up at the captain's run, on the bus on the way to the stadium, in the dressing sheds, that's Brad Arthur. Yeah. And something about Brad Arthur is no longer firing the boys up to where they need to be.
Yeah.
It's on these, and it's always these shit games because Penrith and Melbourne, you don't need motivation because they're the best teams in the comp.
The boys automatically motivated for it. Yeah, it's naturally there. You know, the boys are going to turn up. They know they're in for a hell of a game. They were not ready for this ambush. And we were. And a lot of fans were. A lot of fans have posted saying this is a danger game for us because we've seen this before with the Tigers. We've seen this before with this Parramatta team. Why the hell can't BA see it and fire this team up? I tell you what, before the game, though, I don't know when I saw Ryan Carr talking to BA and I sent you a video saying, who the hell is this guy? And it turns out it's Ryan Carr and it's he's our new assistant coach. And he seemed to be more fired up than BA was. Like, he was getting in BA's ear. And if he's gone, well, I reckon BA is going to be out of here in a year or two. So I'm better off coming in here as assistant coach. I'm curious. He just Blame seemed to be. Yeah. I mean, someone else said on Facebook that they've seen Bellyache fire up over a mistake made on the field by the Storm when they're 20 points in front, and he'll yell and scream, yeah. You know. And, you know, I think we need a mental coach more so than we do to have we need a mental coach more so than we need an actual running the plays coach. So, I don't know. I swear to God, if you get Tony Robbins, it would be better than BA at the moment.
Well, something needs to change. I don't know if it's Brad Arthur's not providing direction or you know, maybe because the Origin boys were out all week, you know, the likes of Junior Polo and wasn't, you know, there to fire the boys up. But then doesn't that lay on the hands of Mitch and Gutho to find that effort? Because it just seemed like right across the park, no one anywhere was willing to put their hand up and have a go and make a fist of it. And
I thought Simonson was good once again. Like he was when Burton threw the ball at Mitch and then that Bulldogs player, what's his name, Fop or something, or Flop, or he got in slop, slip, slop, slap. He came in and then Simonson grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and threw him to the ground. I thought he was, once again, he showed good aggression and he wants to be there. And Penasini, I think, was good. And Sivo did fuck all, but he was like, you know, he should have been in the more. He should have been in hitting the ball up more. And once again, he was caught out in defense, like rushing in. We're at the 50 meter mark, and he comes in off the wing to. He's still making those.
Yeah, that was mistakes. So soft.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I thought the scuffle might have been a turning point of the game too.
Like, it was a turning point for them.
It's like, oh, we're showing a bit of backbone and a bit of fight, and the boys are back in Mitch, and here we go. The next, you know, and the Bulldogs have to take the next hit up. So this is going to be awesome. Yeah. And then nothing comes of it, like. There were so many chances, like you said, like, oh, they're up 12-0. Okay, they're up 16-0 at halftime. Yeah. There's still a chance to bring this back because this team's got points in it.
Yeah.
And then there's that little scuffle, and then we throw our ball, and all of a sudden, Adakar's intercepting a Gutho pass, running 80 metres the other way, and it's 20-0. And
yeah. What was that pass? I don't understand why he threw. We already had, like, you can understand RCG throwing an intercept pass. He's a forward, and he had. So he, RCG makes a break. I think he had Junior Paulo on the inside. Where the hell was everyone else? Like, where the hell? Where Dillbags went missing in action this week. Now, I know he was, you know, had a busted foot, but these are kids, you know, and BA needs to get these kids' heads in the game. They were not. The game, they just thought that we were going to run over the top of them, and it was embarrassing. It was horrible to watch.
It is, and it's like, at what point do you understand or realize or begin to act? This is like, look, we've come on here a little underdone. We've acted entitled. I thought halftime was the perfect time. We're down 16-0.
We were still in it. Yeah,
that's still in it. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm waiting for this comeback to happen, and it gets worse. And the most disappointing thing about this whole game is it gets fucking worse. We got worse.
Yep, and I think that was pointed out by Mitch Moses. But what was he doing? He was scoring under the post, and he just started to stroll. Now, people are starting to say it's match fixing that was so bad. People are saying that he didn't want to score, and Matt Burton just came and slapped the ball out of his hands. And it did look like someone who didn't want to score. And, you know, obviously it's not match fixing, but it looked like it. It looked like someone who didn't want to score a try. And he just strolled over, had the ball slapped out of his hands. We weren't going to win it, but it was still, you know, it would have taken us up.
It was something.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know.
Encapsulate the entire game in that 1 5-second period.
It really
is Mitch Moses strolling over, entitled. Like he thinks he's going to fucking score a try, and yeah. Matt Burton, in desperation, slaps it out of his hand, and that was the game in a 5-second nutshell.
Entitled
Parramatta,
yeah.
Entitled, turned their nose up on an opposition that had no chance in hell of beating them against a Matt Burton who's out there with a chip on his shoulder, and a Josh Adokar who's out there with a very big chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
You know.
And Pangai Jr. was good as well. And he was fiery, and he got in to RCG. RCG was good, I thought, against Pangai Jr. They had a good war together. And, you know, I was quite happy with that. But I thought the Iceman was quiet. Matto was quiet. Sean Lane was quiet. I mean, it just didn't...
Yeah.
The fire didn't come from anyone. The fire did not come from the captain. Like, Gutho didn't stand up. I mean, through the intercept pass, which was ridiculous to throw the Fox out on the wing and you throw that floating bloody ball and...
Yeah, he's out there waiting for those passes.
Oh, what the hell was that? And I don't know. Like, okay, so moving forward, we've got the Roosters now. I think we're going to beat the Roosters because this is what we do. We go and we get our asses handed to us, and then we'll turn up and we'll be like, oh, shit, we've got to play. We've got to turn this around. And they'll be motivated. Now, there's enough firepower in this team to win a grand final. BA is not going to be able to get these kids' heads together to win four games in a row. It's just not. There's no way we're winning this year because unless they do it themselves, unless they turn up and they're like, okay, we've got to beat the Panthers, we've got to beat the Storm, we've got to beat the Bunnies, and they manage to get in their own heads and motivate themselves, that's the only way we're winning because BA sure as hell is not going to motivate this team to a victory.
Well, as long as we're playing top four sides, we should be okay. I mean, if we have to play, heaven forbid, we have to play the Tigers somehow in the finals. You know, we'll lose that game. But
the Cowboys is a danger game because they're going to be in the top eight. And if we end up playing them and they already got one game over us, I reckon we'll be entitled against them again. And anyone,
we're going to have to go through. We're going to have to go through the Cowboys or the Broncos, then the Storm, and then the Panthers. We're going to have to do this the hard way. So
we're in more danger of losing the first game of the finals. So I think the way we're going at the moment, we're going to be like finish sixth or something along those lines. So it's going to be a sudden death game in the finals, and
that could be against a Canberra or a Cronulla or one of these dark horse teams that are super dangerous, or maybe the Broncos, they've got some injuries coming now, so they're
going to Reynolds is out again. I mean, I don't know if they can win without Reynolds guiding that ship, but
imagine we play a Broncos, you know, who by that stage will be at full strength for their sake, and all of a sudden we've got Adam Reynolds and a Payne Haas coming at us and.
Yeah,
you know this week one game
and a Cobbo.
And if we get eliminated in not a semi final but a qualifier,
and that's on the cards, man.
And that's on the cards,
and we've signed BA for another 2 years, man. Like you know, he's not the man to get us there. He's not the man to get us a grand final. And I don't know if Ryan Carr is. I don't know who is. But what we don't need is another soft cock coach to come in with a softly approach to these boys. We're going to have a different team anyway. So it's going to be annoying because we're losing half the team. So we're going to be replacing half the team and we're starting again with BA. I mean, this is the perfect time to get a new coach in now. Like now. Yeah. So again, okay, here's the superpower. You've got the team, coach. Like you don't need to rebuild the team. You've got the team. So let's see what you can do with it. Like I'd rather have Brett Camorley at this stage. Like he's stepped in to take over the Tigers and he wants to be a first grade. I'd rather have anyone other than BA at the moment.
Madge is out there. And Madge McGuire, man. I will go on record to say Michael Maguire is a good coach.
I think he's a fantastic coach. And he's the sort of coach who would scream the shit out of someone who's not performing. And that's exactly what we need. I'd love to have him. I'd love to have Flanagan. Now, I saw Troy posted that he saw Mary in the box with BA this week. I didn't see him there, but if I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what Mary's doing. I thought he was assistant coach, but apparently he's not. Ryan Carr's come in, so he's like, what's he doing? If he was in the box.
Well, that would be the first time all year we've seen him in the box.
I'll have to go back and have a look.
He's not under any coaching, like, official director role or, like, his name isn't on the coaching staff to my knowledge. So
and Mick Innes, I mean, what's he doing? Like, he was cheering on the Bulldogs. I mean, you know, I can't really blame him. He's you know, an old Bulldog at heart. But
he was cheering on everything that Reed Marnie did, though.
He was, yeah. And
Reed's
not playing well. He didn't play well. He's not combining well with Mitch at the moment. Something's going on. You need a skull cracker to come in and grab these guys by the scruff of the necks and to start dropping people and saying, well, you're playing Reggie's this week because you played like shit this week. You know, if you don't want to play first grade, then fuck off, you know. And we need a few of the players to have their ass kicked. I hate to say it, but I think Mitch needs a bloody ass kicking. I wouldn't send him to Reggie's, but it's like he definitely was off his game.
Mitchie at least made a fucking meme of himself this week. So your embarrassment alone isn't going to be a driving factor, then I don't know what else would be. Because there's a lot of boys that need to have a look in the mirror this week and question what the hell happened out there. Because if us fans have to rock up to work in our para gear and cop it for 2 days straight from every truck driver and courier and woodwork fucking Bulldogs fan who, I'm not even sure they were a Bulldogs fan, but they're still going to give me shit. I've had a lot of them since yesterday come through my door at dispatch at work. And one by one, just tear shreds off me. And I've got to deal with the brunt of this embarrassment.
Well, you were still wearing the Parramatta jersey to your credit. You were still, you weren't hiding.
That's my work jumper. Like, that is my work jumper. It lives at work. No, I wasn't hiding. I don't hide. You know, I'm not going to hide behind a $900,000 contract in my flash house in my gated community like these boys are. So. Yeah. Man, Saturday night can't come around quick enough. Honestly, man, I just want to put this behind us.
We need to put it behind us, and I don't know what's. I honestly think we're going to roll the Roosters because of this embarrassment. It's going to come from within. I think someone ego-driven people like Dillbags. I think he's ego-driven, and he's had his ego kicked. Mitch made to look the fool. I think he's going to turn up, and I think they're all going to have absolute blinders. And
Gutho's had to do the post-game press conference, and then he was on 2GB the next morning. So Gutho's hurting too. So these boys have got, you know, and it's the worst sort of loss you can have is a loss to your ego. So
100%. And Ray Hadley's come out and slammed us, and I think he had some good points as well. And if they can't get up for this Roosters game, there's something serious. BA should be fired on the spot if they turn up and they can't get up for this game. I mean, if I was coaching it, I'd make them sit and watch that fucking game twice. You know, it'd be like, okay, you guys sit down and watch. And if it's not embarrassing, then you don't deserve to be playing football. And if that doesn't spur you on and make you want to get into the contact,
what does
I mean, you know, you've had, as a young man, when you're 20 year old kid, 21, 22, and you've had your ego chin checked like that, you come out swinging, like, you know. A normal man will do that. If they can't get their shit together to take on the Roosters, who are going to come swinging at us, then
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Like, mate, I, I had my ego checked as a fan this week, so you know, I've been rather lippy to the Cowboys fans, thinking, you know, and the Broncos fan. Yeah. My boss is a Broncos fan, and I'm like, you're sitting up there because you've got a baby shit soft draw. And he's like, well, we didn't lose the Bulldogs, so you know, I've had my ego checked this week as well.
Well, the Cowboys did, so the Cowboys can't say anything because they lost to the Bulldogs as well. But I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. It was hard to watch, and the fallout, and then Teamless Tuesday has picked the exact same team. Like, now I don't mind that if you're going to throw it to those guys and go, this is a challenge to you guys. You know, you've got to now step up and redeem yourself. That's why you've been picked again.
That's exactly the formula. It has to be.
Well, I did see that Reggie's team got smashed as well, and apparently none of them turned up as well. So someone commented, I didn't actually see it, although it was broadcast. I didn't know it, but KO broadcast the game, so I might go. Well, I was going to say I might go watch the replay. I don't know if I could do that, but if the Reggies get smashed as well. I'm a big fan of dropping players. I'm a big fan of there being consequences, because you need to put it in their head. You play shit, there are repercussions. And if you don't turn up, then you're gone.
Well, the problem is, I don't mind that philosophy, but we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And we finally get a chance now to play at full strength.
Yeah.
With Micah back, with Wonga back, with Bailey's back, everyone's firing. So I think it's maybe a little too late today to drop players. Like, now it's a matter of, it's going to be the most contradicting thing I've ever said this year, but finding consistency or finding rhythm or finding something. And a team that hasn't found rhythm or consistency all year, but I think now that we've got our top 17 there and ready, that's the ship we've got to sail on now.
I am convinced that we're going to turn up against the Roosters. I'm convinced that we're going to win that game. I think they're going to turn up. And so on that hand, there's no point dropping them, because I do think that they're going to turn up and redeem themselves. I think they've been, you know, it's time for them to stand up. I don't know, like, no, across the board, that, like, even Murata, like, didn't really seem to get into the game. And it was, you know, like you said, we're at full strength. We got them all back. We had Murata back and Sivo, you know.
I just want a response there. I think now we're just to the point where I need to see a response, a good response. This weekend will show what sort of team we've got, or what sort of team we've still got. This team can win a premiership if it wants to win a premiership, but it's up to this team to win the premiership. You know, they're not going to get any help from anyone, anywhere. They're going to have to do it themselves.
The coach isn't going to give us any bloody help. You know, like, I don't think he's... I don't know, because the week after, we've got the Rabbitohs. So we've got Roosters and then the Rabbitohs. Latrell has come out and said that he's in the best shape of his life. He's ready to go. And the first game he's going to be back against is us.
Yeah,
he's going to tear the shit out of us if we're not up ready for the contest with him, because he's going to be trying to absolutely tear us to strips. Now, you know, so we need to back it up. I think we're starting to look at the run home. So we need to start getting some consistency going. We need to start, I don't know, like, it's BA need to steal their puppies and threaten to kill their dogs if they don't turn and play. You know, you guys got to turn up and play, otherwise your puppies aren't coming up. He needs to do something. I mean, you know.
And the run home is, isn't that easy as well. I mean, we've got the Bulldogs and the Tigers again. We've got the Broncos twice, Melbourne and Penrith as well. It's one of those years where there's, like, no easy games in the NRL, and it rings true.
Yeah.
Because every down team or out of form team we play comes with an extra set of motivation. Like, you know, we're going up against the Tigers, who were almost going to sack Madge. They're up for it. We're going up against the Bulldogs, who have already
fired their coach.
Their star winger wants an Origin jersey. Canberra were on this big roll, and we beat Canberra, thank fuck.
Yeah.
You know, Canberra on this big roll. The Cowboys had a point to prove up in Darwin.
Yeah.
They're coming into the Rabbitohs now that are just going to get Latrell Mitchell back. The Warriors, yes. Who knows what week to week the Warriors are.
Yeah.
You know, the Broncos will be gunning for our heads. Penrith and Melbourne want revenge.
Yeah.
This is going to be the hardest 25 rounds, I think, these boys, because of consistently hard football that these boys have faced probably ever.
All BA has to do is get some mental strength training into these kids. He needs to work out how to get them prepared for the game mentally, and I just don't think he's got it in him, unfortunately. He seems to concentrate on football. It's a mental game. Like, I don't think Wayne Bennett has even been out on a paddock with a football team for the last bloody 10 years. It's all about dealing with their personalities, and he'll attack them on a personal level and get the best out of each of their players. I mean, Billy Aik's the same. Billy Aik's famous for getting the best out of players that go down. And he's often said that he'll just give them one task, like one thing to concentrate on, like, you know, and just run the ball. Just give them one thing to concentrate on to build up their confidence, you know. And this is another thing, like, this loss might drain our confidence completely. So I don't know, mate. We'll have to leave it there. We're running out of time, but we've got some interesting times ahead as Parramatta fans. It was obviously a piss poor effort on the weekend. Hopefully, yeah. We can do something against the Roosters, and you know, I hope it just doesn't go pear shaped from here. It could. We've seen it before. We could just lose now. We could just lose to the Roosters, lose to the Bunnies, and then it's just like it's just going down, down, down. And then all of a sudden we're fighting to stay in top of the eight. But we'll leave it there for now, mate. And we'll come back next week, and hopefully we're talking about the fantastic bounce back against the Roosters.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. I think the next two games are going to be very detrimental to our season. As to what sort of team we are and what sort of team we want to be this season. So let's go. Let's see what they got.
Let's go. Click go the Eels, baby.
Click go the Eels, man. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, champion.
The Parramatters podcast for Eels fans everywhere.